Foundations Lesson Number 6, The Church. When people use the word church, they usually mean a building, a place where people gather to worship God. But the Bible uses the word church to mean people. From the original Greek word for church, which is ekklesia, we get the meaning of an assembly of people that has been called out, which makes up the first 2 points in our outline. Did Jesus ever say, "Each man is like an island unto himself, go ye therefore and live like one"? No, he never said that. Once we get saved, it's God's purpose and design for us to live our faith and grow our faith together in community. We have not been created to live as islands unto ourselves. We need other believers. That's an important part of our spiritual diet, and it's what the Bible calls church. In the heart of God, there's an intense longing that we would love one another, care for one another, support one another, and help one another. In the heart of God, there's an intense longing that we would be one, just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Even Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, said to his apostles, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." You can read that in Luke 22:15. With all the pressures he faced, with all the pain, anguish, and suffering he knew was just around the corner, he still had an incredible longing to be in community with those who were closest to him. He is our example. In the kingdom of God, everything is relational. Everything. The number one most important relationship that you or I will ever have is our relationship to God himself. The first and greatest commandment is for us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Nothing in all of life is more important than that. But secondarily, we are called to love each other. If we are doing that, we will want to be relationally connected to other believers. And that's what church is all about. More than anything else, it's a family. How many of you parents know how good it feels when your kids are being nice to each other, when they're going out of their way to make their siblings happy? Doesn't that thrill you? What you feel at that moment is only a little shadow, a slight tinge of what God our Father feels in his heart when his children love one another. But doing this is harder than it sounds. The difficulty in all of us believers being one happy, contented family lies in the fact that all of God's children are still very imperfect. I have a little poem. "To live above with the saints we love, my, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, now, that's a different story." Do you realize that the person next to you in the worship service has not been perfected yet? And guess what? Neither have you and neither have I. The fact is, we all have our problems. The only kind of person you will find in the church is the imperfect variety. And it's in the context of imperfect people gathering together that God says for us to love one another. So even though we may be misunderstood, accused, insulted, ignored, or otherwise mistreated in church, God still wants us to be a vital part of a congregation, an assembly, a family of believers. That's his heart. That's his design for you and me. So when relationships in God's family become unhealthy, we need to be committed to doing everything we possibly can to help them get restored, to help them get healed, no matter the cost or the pain. So the church is an assembly of people, Roman numeral number 1. The Bible uses a variety of terms to describe the church. The word assembly is used. Psalm 149 verse 1, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints." Acts 15:12, "The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul." This term, assembly, gives us the picture of people who are gathered, who are assembled together because of what they have in common, the worship of God. Again, they're not living as islands unto themselves, but they're joined together in a place of meeting. Also, the term congregation is used, which is similar. 1 Corinthians 14:33, as in all the congregations of the saints. Hebrews 2:12, he says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. So we have assembly, congregation. Then Scripture uses the word fellowship also to describe the church. 1 Corinthians 5:2, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? When I think of a fellowship, I think of a bunch of people who want to be together. And then there's the word family. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Ephesians 3:15. The Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. 1 Peter 4:17. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? We who believe in Jesus Christ are a family. We are designed to have great love, care, and support for one another. So the primary issue is not one of church services or church attendance, but one of church relationships. A lot of people, when they talk about going to church, are primarily thinking of attending a service. Even some leaders in the church, when they think about the church, they're mainly concerned about the services, the preaching, the music that's sung in worshiping God, making sure the sound system is functioning properly, and so on. I'm not saying those things are unimportant, but the emphasis, as far as God is concerned, is on the relationships. We can have beautiful music, inspired preaching, clean bathrooms, and great food, but if we are not focused on our relationships to the people of the church, we've missed the whole point. In the additional resources section of this webpage, you'll find a document that gives all the occurrences in the New Testament of the phrase one another or each other as they apply to the church. I invite you to download that document and to study how we're each called to treat one another. And I'd like to encourage you, when you attend a church service, get there early. Stay late. Talk to people. Get to know them. You might even want to meet with members of the church family for purposes other than attending a church service. You may also find that there's some way you can help out, something you can do to contribute to the work that needs to be done. There are some jobs in a church family that need to be done which don't require any special training or spiritual maturity. It doesn't take special skill to mow the lawn or clean the bathrooms. God has called each one of us to serve one another. And however you choose to serve, remember, you're doing it first and foremost because you love God and you want to please Him, and secondarily out of love for the people of the church. Roman numeral 2 on our outline says that we have been called out. 1 Peter 2:9 through 10 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We can picture in these verses that at one time each of us was in darkness, and then, gloriously and graciously, God saved us. He called us out of that darkness and brought us into His wonderful light. As a result, we declare His praises. We are in the world, but we are no longer of the world because God has called us out. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. We are Christ's ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20. An ambassador is one who represents the interests of his homeland on foreign soil. We represent the interests of the kingdom of God, and we live in this world, which is foreign soil to us because our citizenship is in heaven. Peter calls us strangers in the world because our passions and our desires have nothing in common with those of this world. We have been called out of darkness into His wonderful light. We have been called out of sin into His great holiness. We have been called out of greed and lust into His wonderful contentment. We have been called out of anger and hostility into His wonderful love, peace, and joy. And our inheritance is out of this world, literally.